Hey everyone, what's up? It is Jeff from Modern Combat and Survival, and welcome to podcast episode number 305. So this week we're hanging out with Nick Ryans of GhostRingTactical.com to hear about his recent personal test that he ran to decide if adding the latest tactical trend of red dot optics to his handgun was an advantage or a disadvantage in a personal defense scenario. Now, I myself have been wondering if this is just something that all the cool contractor dudes with the long beards are all using for show out at the range, or if there's really something to it from a tactical shooting perspective. Now, I really liked Nick's evaluation, and he had some great tips to share if you're also considering going down this optics road. So I know you're really gonna love this in-depth evaluation. And hey, don't worry about taking notes because we've done all the heavy lifting for you with this week's free show notes, including a handy-dandy one-page cheat sheet covering all the main points. All you have to do is head on over to www.mcsmagazine.com/305 and download it all absolutely free. And now, let's talk tactics.
Tactical firearms training, urban survival, close quarters combat.
This is another podcast to help you better prepare for any threat you may face in your role as a protector and a patriot. This is Modern Combat and Survival.
Okay, a little bit of gun sight history here. There once was a time when the sights on a handgun were almost an afterthought. I mean, back in the day, it wasn't uncommon for handguns to have tiny fixed sights that were barely better than nothing at all. And then the pendulum swung the other way. People started mounting optics on their guns, from laser units the size of a small refrigerator to optical sights just slightly smaller than the Hubble telescope. Well, we're lucky to live in an era that we do, setting aside the riots, the economy-destroying pandemic, the fires that almost burned Australia down, the murder hornets, the killer clowns. Oh, sorry, we were talking about handgun sight technology. Okay, all right. So we're lucky that handgun optics have gotten so good that they have. And the latest trend now is to mount a red dot sight to your defensive handgun, even for concealed carry. So it does raise the question, with every tactical operator online mounting a red dot optic to his handgun, is this something that we should be doing also? I mean, after all, these aren't the size of those older giant optics, but they're not exactly small either. So do you need a red dot sight for your handgun? What are the advantages of a red dot? What are the disadvantages? And does running this kind of a sight on your gun require a new skill set? Well, the answers to those questions and more are coming right up in today's show. Hello, everyone. This is Jeff Anderson, editor for Modern Combat and Survival. And with me today is Nick Ryans from Ghost Ring Tactical. Nick, welcome back to the program, man.
Thanks, Jeff. Love being here, man.
Always good having you on. Listen, everybody, if you haven't heard any other shows we've had with Nick, he is a former U.S. Marine infantryman and police officer who specializes in tactical training for the real world. An urban warfare specialist, Nick has developed life or death skills in everything from tactical firearms to hand-to-hand combat, including Muay Thai, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Kenpo, American boxing, and Krav Maga. He's an expert instructor in handgun, rifle, and shotgun skills for personal and home defense, and Nick has assembled a top-notch team of instructors for his jam-packed training camps, as well as an online training portal for long-distance learning of a variety of self-protection skills. Now, to learn more about Nick and his operation at Ghost Ring Tactical, make sure you visit him online at www.ghostringtactical.com. Now, Nick, I saw this article that you put out to your newsletter, and it really kind of, I've been seeing these red dots on these on everybody's guns. I see them in the magazines now, and so this is the big trend out there, and I've always kind of strayed away from this. It wasn't anything that I was really all that interested in, but I follow your stuff, like, and you had a very interesting, like, you did your own test of it, and it's really to come up to your own conclusions. And so I really wanted to kind of get your feedback on this. I guess I want to start out with the people that maybe aren't reading the tactical magazines or don't know what we're talking about. So when we're talking about a red dot scope for, and specifically we're talking about handguns here, because I think people have seen them, like, for carbines and things like that. But for a handgun, this is really kind of building up more and more momentum here. So what are we talking about with the red dot, and how did this become so popular as, like, this trend for optics?
Okay. So again, I kind of held off on the red dot thing too. I'm like, I don't need that. I'm good with my iron sights. But I kept seeing, you know, the trend going toward those red dots, and I think it got that way probably, I mean, again, I don't know the exact history of it, but it's probably exactly the same way that red dot optics became popular for carbines, you know, because back in the day, you know, people fought it as well. They're like, I don't need, you know, optics on my carbine. I'm good with my iron sights. I'm perfectly fine. But then, you know, once people started switching over, we found out that, you know, it's a lot easier to acquire our targets. We're acquiring our target a lot faster with that red dot. We found out that we're more accurate at distance with that red dot instead of using our iron sights. And then we saw that on when we're shooting rapid fire, you know, we're being able to acquire our red dot a lot faster than trying to pick up, you know, the front and the rear sight. So that allowed us to get more rounds down range. And that's why I think that a lot of people started switching to red dots for their carbines, and we're seeing the exact same thing happen with pistols as well.
Yeah. This is something that when I saw it, I was like, okay, tactical tip number 300,493, you know, and, but I mean, I do like a red dot on my carbine. I do have a red dot on my carbine. I like it for all the same reasons that you just talked about. For a handgun, I guess my brain was just locking into, okay, low profile. I need to be like super low. I don't need this thing. However, when I really started thinking about it after I read your article, I run my sights a little bit differently than 99% of people out there. And I really run like a ghost ring, which is obviously weird because that's the name of your company too. That's what I've always called it myself. But, So when I started thinking about it, like it really can help me the way that I run my sights. But I think, so you did this analysis, like you came at this, like from the same thing. Like, I don't know if this is really something for me, but let me test it. And yeah. So let's start out with what maybe your first, like maybe the obstacles you had to overcome, but like what you discovered also, like what are the disadvantages? So for the,
okay,
what are some of the disadvantages of running a red dot on your defensive handgun?
Okay. So the biggest and most popular con I could say for most people switching over is the ability to find the dot quickly. It's a different skill set. You know, when you've got your you know, front sight and rear sight, you know, you're as you're drawn out, you're basically your front sight is kind of guiding you up. But with a red dot, you're drawn up, you're coming up on target, and if you don't have the red dot straight out in front of your face, a lot of times you're going to see guys kind of moving their gun around because they don't quite see the dot yet. And it takes practice. I mean, just like anything else, it takes practice to get used to the draw stroke on drawn out, you know, not tilting your head down, not contorting your body in any way, and just getting that weapon straight out in front of your face where you can actually are picking up the red dot and you're picking it up quickly, especially in a defensive, you know, handgun. It's like, if you're drawing that weapon out, there's a problem and that you need to deal with. And if you're not able to pick that dot up quickly, then that could be a problem. So that's probably one of the biggest cons is just the training that it takes to learn how to properly draw that weapon out of the holster to make sure that you're picking up the red dot and you're not trying to find it. The next probably major con that comes to my mind is cost. You know, not all of us are rich these days, especially with all of us being, you know, a lot of people being losing their jobs because of the pandemic and all the other nonsense. So the cost is another con because, I mean, most of the red dots out there are going to cost probably around the same cost as the cost you to buy the gun. And then it's not just the cost of the optic, but you got the cost of now you've got to put suppressor size sights on it for iron sights. Because again, you're never going to want to just rely on technology. You always want to have backup iron sights on there in case technology goes down. So you got to switch it. You got to pay for suppressor size heights, heights for your optics or your front and rear sights. You got base plates. Okay. So if you want to use a different base plate to mount the weapon, to mount the optic on the weapon, you got to pay for that. And then there's the gun. It's like you can buy the guns that are already milled for the red dot to go in, or a lot of guys are getting their slides of their weapons milled so that optic can actually go right into the slide of your weapon. So those are probably the two biggest cons that I've heard and that I've seen personally. Yeah,
that's interesting because I think a lot of people, well, there was a couple, I think, things that people would assume before I actually hear that. One is that it's kind of like, well, you don't even have to aim anymore. You don't have to, like, it's got a big red dot. Like, how hard can that be? You've got it. How difficult can it be? You don't have to really train with it all that much or anything like that. And it really is different. And then the expense to go in there just to try to figure out if it is actually yours too. So let me ask you about that. Is it better than to, like, if somebody's going to test this, I don't know if I should say this for later on, but I mean, like that is a big investment to like, oh, this really sucks. I really don't like this thing.
Yes. So
is there a way to like maybe find a like do they rent these out at ranges now? I haven't seen any that I've seen.
Not that I've seen. So what I did was I found a buddy that already went through it before me. So, and I used his gun first just to kind of try it out. And I, honestly, when I first tried out, I didn't like it. Okay. I tried it out and I'm like, eh. And then we battled on the dueling tree together. So, and I beat him on the dueling tree with my iron sights. So I got whatever. I don't need to do this. But again, I kept reading. I kept doing the research. So I'm like, you know what? I need to put more time into this instead of just shooting it one time and deciding that, no, it's not for me. So I decided that, you know what? I'm just going to take the plunge. I'm going to buy a brand new gun with the slide already cut out and just fully invest into it. And then if I really don't like it after that, then I'll go back to my gun with just my iron sights. But the cost is a big one.
Yeah. Good point. All right, listen, we've been talking with Nick Ryans of GhostRingTactical.com about the pros and cons of using a red dot sight with your defensive handgun. So obviously we have a lot more to get into with this, including why you might not want to attach a red dot to your weapon and why you might want to attach a red dot to your weapon. What exactly you should be considering giving a red dot a solid try, and tips and tricks for your own range test to make sure that a red dot is really the right choice for you. Now, all that and more is coming right up, but first, check out this special message.
What if everything you knew about how to stop a violent attacker with your gun was wrong? Discover the advanced tactics you must know now to protect yourself and those you love with a firearm. Check out our free book, Stopping Power Secrets. Inside, you'll find such no-hold-barred shockers as 1. The three most common myths and misinformation shoveled out by movies and gun range know-it-alls that could get you killed in a real-life gunfight. 2. The cold, hard truth about your personal weapon's ability to be a one-shot man-stopper. 3. What coroners know about selecting the right ammo for your firearm that you don't. 4. And the simple training trick used by Abrams tank crews and commercial airline pilots that will prepare you for a real attack, even better than your best day at the range. Don't place your family's safety in the hands of Hollywood fairy tales and hearsay. Claim your free copy of Stopping Power Secrets now at www.stoppingpowersecrets.com. And now, back to the show.
Okay, we're back with Nick Ryans of GhostRingTactical.com, helping you decide if a red dot sight is a good option for your defensive handgun. All right, so Nick, we've talked about some of the disadvantages and some of the kind of the assumptions people might have that would avoid at them giving the red dot a try. But what are some of the, and with your own tests also, and you came in as a naysayer, but what were some of the advantages that you found once you actually gave this thing a test and as you've been training with it since you made the switch?
So probably the biggest advantage that I saw to it was based on the focal planes. So instead of having three focal planes with iron sights where you've got your rear sight, you've got your front sight, and you've got your target, you've got three different focal planes that your eye's trying to play with. And, you know, like we all know, we when we get into engagement, we have to focus on the front sights, so we get accurate hits and all that kind of stuff. But when it comes to the red dot, that changes the three focal plane now down to just one focal plane. So now what we can do is we can just focus our attention on the target and just put our red dot on that target. And then if you know, we need to send rounds down range, then we do. So when it comes to defensive, handgun training or carrying concealed and that sort of thing, the biggest benefit is being able to focus on the bad guy, being able to look at him and see, is this guy coming at me with a knife? Is this guy got a gun? Is this guy just holding the cell phone? He doesn't need to be, you know, lit up right now. It's like, we need to make sure that our brain is being able to focus in on the threat or non-threat, so we know how to deal with it. And if we see it over and over again in our training when we do scenario drills, where we're using UTM rounds. So they're actually firing, you know, the paintball rounds out of the gun. But we see that every time they get into an engagement, I mean, these aren't even real life engagements, we're always focused on the bad guy. We're always looking at the bad guy. We don't, unless you train it over and over and over again, we don't naturally focus on the front sight because our brain wants to look at the threat. We want to look at that bad guy. And that's what I see as the biggest benefit to red dot is now we can focus in on the bad guy. We can look through that little glass that we've got and we can see plenty. And all we've got to do is put that red dot on him. And then we can actually see what he's doing with his hands through that glass and then decide if it's a shoot or no shoot scenario. Yeah.
Yeah. The best answer I have for that is amen. Like that's the whole reason why I run my sights so different than other things, because people tend to, they just keep preaching like front sight, but your brain really does. Your brain, number one, wants to see what threat is coming at you full speed. So it knows, I mean, that's, we're designed that way. But then for legal purposes also, like, no, I didn't see the guy. I was focusing my front sight. I didn't know it was a cell phone he was pulling out and things like that. So yeah. And that's actually, that is the reason why I started really thinking like, this is really worth something for me to check out. So let me ask you about this. So now I'm jumping ahead to me on the range now.
Okay.
And now it's become such a cool trend that I know some people, how do I even say this? You know, I hate looking like I'm the tactical operator on the range, you know? So there's people that would say like, look at me, I'm such a badass, I have a red dot. And I'm like the opposite. Like, you know, look, I'm not wired anything in here because I think I'm a tactical operator. I only run stuff that I really believe in that I want to try. So other than looking like either a really cool operator on the range, who is kind of the best candidate that you found, especially if you've been training with other people or you have buddies that have been doing this as well. And when you're running your camps out at your training camps and things like that, what have you found to be the best candidate? Like for those people listening, who should really think like, okay, yeah, this is really something that I should test because there's the pros are going to really outweigh the cons.
Right. So we don't tell people, it's like, if you can't shoot with iron sights, switching over to red dots, not going to help you. You're still not going to be able to shoot. So when it comes to making that choice, like when am I ready? It's when you have become very proficient with your iron sights and you've already basically mastered the fundamentals. All right. So you've got your stance down, you've got your grip down, you've got, you know, your draw is the same every time. You know, you've mastered sight alignment, sight pick. So all the, you know, trigger control, breathing, all of the major fundamentals, you've got those locked down. You're a great shooter already when it comes to iron sights. That's when I say that's when it's time to make the change on switching over to a red dot, because you've mastered those skills, and because you never know, you may need to use them again. Cause if that red dot for some reason goes down, you know, you've got the backup iron sights on there and you can transition right back to what you've done with training for iron sights. So you've got to be a master with iron sights first, then you can look at and do transitioning to the red dot and then relearning or learning a new skill set with that platform on there.
You know, something else that I think I remember seeing in your article also is that people who may be older that have a hard time seeing their sights, maybe their eyesight's doing a little bit more. Have you found that it is an advantage also for people that are older, that it's more vibrant there, like they'll have a better target to be able to focus in on?
Yes. We've seen that where people that are wearing glasses or people that need reading glasses or that sort of thing, that they can actually, it's going to help them out a lot more because they can really see that red dot. They don't have to try to find that front sighting no more. They get that red dot, they put it on the rad guy, and then they're good to go. So yes, we've seen that as a huge benefit for them.
Well, I would think especially people that do have glasses, we talk all the time about how most attacks are going to happen right up in your face. There's very likely you're going to have a struggle there. So if you wear glasses and they get knocked off and all of a sudden now you're like Velma and Scooby-Doo, like looking around for your glasses and trying to like, so I would imagine that having a little bit more of something that stands out more as a sight or even like low light and things like that might also, I can see some of the other advantages there perhaps.
Oh yes. Yeah, definitely. You know, and it's in it that there's a lot of different red dots out there these days. But you know, if you're looking at buying them, one thing that I've heard people make a mistake on is buying some of the red dots with the larger red dots. So you want to try to go with, a one or a 3.25 MOA red dot instead of the larger ones. Cause what we've heard is that, the dot being as big as it is, especially when you get back to some, you know, distance, 25 yards and that sort of thing, it really covers up a lot of the target. So especially defensive shooting, we don't want that red dot to be large enough where it's covering up our bad guy and we really can't see what they're doing because our red dot was so big that we couldn't really see what they're doing. So, you know, if they're looking at buying them, just make sure to go with one of the smaller dots with whatever brand, you know, they go with.
That's a really great point. All right. So for somebody that does decide, you know, this is something that I definitely want to test out, what do you recommend to them? I mean, are there drills they can do? Like what tips do you have for, for them to really give it a solid try, but to determine, like, not go in there and just, oh, I can see the dot. Oh, my shot groups aren't as tight as they are with my iron sights. It's no good anymore. What do you recommend that they actually do to really figure out that this is something that they're going to continue to practice and train with and it's going to be a benefit to them?
Okay. So first off, I recommend just dry fire the hell out of this thing. When I first switched over to mine, I was doing 50 draws a day. Just because, I mean, again, my draw stroke was fine. I've been doing this long enough that I'm my weapon's coming out of the holster exactly the same way every time. But for me, I just wanted to make sure that as my weapon came out and it was coming out in front of my face, I was able to pick up that red dot, which I said was probably one of the biggest cons to this is learning how that weapon needs to be pushed out in front of your face to make sure that you can see the dot and pick it up quickly. So dry fire, a ton of dry fire. So first off, you know, you need to make sure that your draw stroke is good. So if you haven't been presenting your weapon out of the holster enough, then get the reps in. Get those reps in every day to make sure that you're drawn out the same way. And if you're carrying concealed, you better be drawn from concealed. Don't be, you know, putting on your battle belt and drawn from there. Is that realistic? Is that where you're going to be drawn from? It's a different draw stroke. You know, I practice both, you know, cause I carry appendix when I'm going concealed. And if I'm on the range, teaching, then I'm usually wearing a battle belt and it's off to my side. So I practice on both just to make sure that as I draw the weapon out, I can pick up that dot. So multiple draws with being able to pick up that dot. So what I do is right now I did 50 draws a day, two-handed when I first got it. I'm now down to, I do 20 draws a day now. Okay. With two hands. Then I switch over and I do 20 draws a day with my strong side only, because that's one mistake I made is I drew out with two hands only. And then when I got up to teach and I had to teach a strong side only technique and I drew it out, I'm like, oh no, where'd the dot go? Cause it's a different draw stroke. The gun's tilted in slightly. So you've got to see what the difference is when that weapon comes out. So I threw in now, I do 20 draws, strong side. And then if you want to, you can do, strong side, two hands, and then switch over to your support side only to kind of get a feel for kind of how that hand is going to be positioned to make sure I can pick up that red dot. So that's when it comes to your dry fire stuff. Another dry fire drill is the time drill. So once you got the draw down and you're able to pick up the dot quickly, then start timing yourself. You're like, okay, I put a 3x5 card on the wall. And then I draw out and then I set my shot timer, and I set it for 3 seconds. So you can start off with 3 seconds. Okay. It, just to get you on it. So you should be able to get out, draw that weapon out, get on target and pull that trigger before that buzzer goes off. Okay. Once you've mastered that, bump it down to 2 seconds. Once you master that, bump it down to 1 second, or again, kind of whatever skill level you're at, but get it where you're timing yourself, where you've got to get it in that certain amount of time. You got to get that red dot on that 3x5 card and then get that trigger pull, to really speed up that time. Then when you get out there on the live fire range, one of the biggest things you're going to see is your follow through. So once you make that first shot with that red dot, it's interesting to kind of see what that red dot does and then see how good your follow through is to see if you have a good follow through. Is that red dot coming right back on target where it was? Okay. Or is it off to the left? Is it off to the right? Is it high? Is it low? And you can pick up some of the mistakes that you're making based off what you see that red dot do. You know, is the red dot dipping, you know, as I go? So are you anticipating the shot? Okay. Are you pulling to the left, pulling to the right? So you can actually use the red dot to self-diagnose kind of some issues you may be having on the range or, you know, with your basic fundamentals. Mm. And then the last thing would be, when it gets to rapid fire. Okay. So I like to shoot fast. So when I got out there and I started seeing kind of, it's a lot different. It looks different than when I'm firing quickly and I'm picking up my front sight, then a red dot bouncing all over the place and knowing when I can pull that trigger again based off where that red dot is, you know, cause it's bouncing. And then right when it comes back and across where I need it to, then I pull again. And then you see it bounce and then it comes right back down and then boom, I can pull again. So, you know, those are some of the drills that I found to be the most beneficial, with getting accurate, with again, a new red dot on your pistol.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. And go see which one of your buddies have red dots so you can borrow theirs instead of spending yes. a fortune just to test it out. Awesome.
Yes.
Nick, thanks so much, man. I really appreciate this. Cause these were questions that I really had. I know a lot of our listeners do as well. So, I'm really glad I was really happy when I saw your article and that you actually put this thing through the test and didn't just regurgitate what everybody else was talking about in magazines and shit. So Awesome. Very cool, man. Listen, everybody, if you haven't been over to Nick's site, I mean, he's got a really robust, like, it's hard to find this quality of instruction inside of like an online training platform. It is really robust, and it really is made for the real world. And it's backed up also by the training camps that he's running as well out on the Live Fire Range. He's got a great group of guys there that are expert instructors as well. So if you've not checked out the website, make sure you go over and check it out over at www.ghostringtactical.com. Until our next Modern Combat Survival broadcast, this is Jeff Anderson saying prepare, train, and survive.
This has been Modern Combat and Survival.
We hope you've enjoyed the show. You can help us out by rating our podcast on iTunes and leaving a comment. You can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/Modern Combat and Survival. And don't forget to claim your free subscription to Modern Combat and Survival magazine at www.moderncombatandsurvival.com. Lock and load. And we'll see you next time. This has been Modern Combat and Survival.